your presence in this place today. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you magnify Jesus in our midst, that we will see your glory, O Lord, the true essence, Lord God, of eternal life, which is the knowledge of you and of Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Let every heart, O Lord, have a fresh revelation of the person of Christ as the word comes forth, that no life and no man under the sound of my voice will live the same way they came, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we worship, and the Bible says that this is life eternal. Eternal life is not just that we're going to live forever in heaven. Eternal life is the very nature of God, which has been imparted to man. And John says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So it's actually a knowledge of the person of Christ Jesus. That's what eternal life means. So the actual aim of everything we're doing now is to come to a more intimate knowledge of Christ Jesus, that we might know him daily and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So it's all about Jesus Christ. And we must have to, we should understand the balance between the person of Jesus Christ and the principles of Jesus Christ. The principles are what we are to live by, but we must not substitute that for an intimate and a personal knowledge of the person of Christ. The principles are there for us to live and overcome on the earth, but we must make sure our goal is to come and progressively come to a personal knowledge of the person of Christ himself. Today we'll talk about something on prayer called the 7 steps to answered prayer. I was praying about this until late in the night. I said, Lord, what am I going to talk about? He said, tell the people about prayer. And prayer is not, there are different kinds of prayer, you know, and we must understand. I'm going to talk today about the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of intercession, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of consecration, but I want to emphasize on the prayer of faith, because we're also going into a period where we have certain goals in the next few weeks. The prayer of faith is the prayer that actually achieves results in the lives of people. And the prayer of faith always works. I heard Copeland say, if it doesn't work, that means it wasn't faith. You might call it anything, but the prayer of faith always works. And the other thing is that God always answers prayers. God does not say, come, go, or wait. God always answers prayers. It is not possible that he doesn't answer prayer. I will see it from the scriptures today. Let's go to Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. It is so amazing that your concept of what the scriptures really mean can actually have a great impact on your walk with God. Because the scriptures are the only thing really that have come to show us who God really is. And the Satan's master strategy is to actually distort the original meaning and intent of what God has designed in scriptures in our own lives as people. So we have to scrutinize carefully the thoughts we achieve. Because I was really thinking deeply this week. I asked my son, I say, we're doing a study on Daniel. I asked him, what does he get from it? He said that God doesn't answer prayer immediately. I said, where did you get that concept from? I mean, I sat down to think deeply. He grows up with that concept of God, and it affects his entire life. You know, just a little knowledge of that thing can affect everything about him. And I haven't done my work very well. So I sat down and I began to teach him that that's not the story. We've been told that God waits, he delays, and no, God doesn't do that. It is not God in God's character to do that. It's a present help in time of need. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It says, call upon me and I will answer thee. So anytime you call, he will answer. That's the basic fact. We understand that's what the scripture says. It says, call upon me and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So in answering, God's saying he reveals knowledge. That's the answer he gives you to prayer. He begins to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. It therefore means that in answer to your prayer, God will show you even far above the thing you have asked him for. That's why he says, my thoughts are superior to any other thoughts on the earth. That's why it should come through my own process. And I say, whosoever asketh, receive it. So God is saying that, look, come my way. There are many ways you can get results on the earth. There are many ways you can get results. To be honest with you, people that are not Christians are getting results. But God is saying, my way is superior to every other way. So if you come through this process of my way, I will answer thee and I will show you things that you didn't even think about when you were making the initial prayer. It's a great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So talk about seven steps to answer prayer. I will go systematically, step by step, and if you practice these things, you are guaranteed that every single prayer of yours will be answered. As I talk about it, go to your life, begin to look back, let the Holy Ghost take you to an adventure in your life and see the prayers that you haven't answered. He's going to show you the spots where you peradventure have left out undone, and I'll show you where you missed it. Step one, decide what you want from God. And in saying this, decide what your true desire is as a person. You see, God starts with that point. Decide what you want. And in saying this, you have to be very, you know, it's a very interesting thing. I mean, decide what you as a person want from God, not what you want because others have. It's a different thing. He said the people wanted a king because the other hidden nations had a king. That was the reason. It wasn't really their heart desire. Decide what you want as a person from God. What is your true desire? Not covetousness, not wanting what others have because you've seen them have it. Sit down. It takes some time actually to be quiet in your closet. Ask God, in this matter, what do I really desire? What is it that if I get as a person sitting on my own, I will become very glad, I'll be happy. Not because other people have it, but because I really, look at Abraham really wanted a son. Anna really wanted a son. It was her true desire. It wasn't color. It wasn't influenced by anything on the outside. She wasn't reaching out for it to consume it upon her lust. But she really wanted it. That thing you desire. People have killed their desires because they feel that it's not possible to reach. Today, I want you, I said at least four things, to go back, be true to yourself. Don't cut it into half. Don't make it less than what you truly desire. What do you really desire from God as your father? Write that thing down. Decide what you want. You say what God wants. You say what you want from God. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what God wills. John 15:7. Is that what he says? You shall ask what you as a person wills, and it will be done unto you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It doesn't say what things soever God desires when you pray. No. Whatever you as a person desires when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So, decide what you want from God as a person. That's the first thing. And be specific. Be specific. God works with specificity. Be specific as you can be. Write it down clearly in clear terms. Be as specific as you can be. For your father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. He knows you need things. Be specific. If it's a car you want, write it down. Say, I want a car from God. Write it down. If it's something, write it specific. If you want your child to get into one of those schools, say, Lord, this is what I desire. Be specific about it. Because if you're not specific about it, you don't get anything. It says, that man who is not specific, who wavers, is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I like the way Kenneth E. Hagin put it. He said, when you're walking in a shop, and you're going to the shop in a supermarket, and you're carrying your trolley, and you're walking around the place without any desire, without any goal of what you want to buy. If you walk for 1 hour, 2 hours, they will come and ask you, say, Oga, what do you want? No, they'll ask you. They'll say, there's something wrong with you. If you say, no, I'm just walking around. Okay. What do you want? They can call the police after some time. I mean, this guy's wandering. He's wandering for hours. The way things are, they can call the police on you. So be specific. Don't wander in this life. Because people are not specific. That's why they can't really, you can't say, okay, on the 1st of January 2015, I asked God for 1, 2, 3, 4. And I haven't materialized fully in my life. It helps you to take stock. Because if you just keep on moving like that without any goal, you just sort of float in the air. You just float and there's no accountability whatsoever. You can't really lay claim to the goodness of God in your life. Be specific. God was showing me that people have to have specific goals. That's why I said 4 goals, write them down this week. This 40 days we're going to start tomorrow. Write those things down and be specific. You're just telling me, look, your life, the problem with you is that you wait sometimes till you have your box on every side before you now decide to push through. He was telling me that. He said, remember in school, you had 6 weeks to perform to pass an exam, which you have to prepare for 1 year. You know that you had to pass this exam, if not, you'd be kicked out of medical school. And because of that, because I had that goal, I had that pressure on me, I said, okay, God, this thing must work. I said, prayer must work. Prayer always works. I decided that, look, this thing is going to work, and I'm going to pass this exam because I know that God will see me through. I was specific because I had a time frame of 6 weeks to pass that exam. We should begin to take our lives with time frames like that. If not, we'll move ahead. Put yourself under a specific time frame with God and see Him manifest Himself in your life as a person. Don't let things linger because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So be specific and write down what you want from God. The next thing you do is to find the scriptures that promise you those things. Number one, find the scriptures that promise you those things. The reason why is because, God cannot function in your life outside the remit of the word. I mean, how are you going to start with Him? What is it going? He can't function outside the remit of your word. He's giving you the word that promises you everything. You can't believe God for anything outside the word. You can't. So you have to have a basis, a strong foundation for faith. Find the specific portion of scriptures that promise you those things. Very simple. Someone needs to buy, or someone needs, he wants a new job or something. He goes to the Bible and says, God will make, someone is in a job and he wants an increase in salary. He finds a scripture and says, promotion does not come from the east or the west, but promotion comes from God. In his mind, he knows that a promotion is synonymous with an increase in salary. So he takes those scriptures and he begins to look at it and say, God, you will bless all the works of my hands. Scriptures are written all over the Bible. Find 2 scriptures, one from the old, one from the new, is enough. It's enough because I was telling Laomi yesterday that, look, I was just thinking about it that faith is not complex. Faith is not complex. Rahab the harlot, she didn't know anything about all the complexities we have made it look like. The centurion came, they didn't have all the... It's not complex. That's what I'm trying to say. God said, isn't it not complex? The woman, the salvation window, did she know all the deep exegesis? She didn't know all those things. Faith is not as complex as we make it to be. Because if faith is that complex, God will not say, give you something so hard and say, the just shall live by faith. Faith is not that complex. Look at all the people that live by faith. They didn't have as many scriptures as you claim to have, but they live by faith. They please God with a lifestyle of faith. So what is it that we're missing out? So get the scripture, follow these steps. Follow these steps. Follow them diligently. Take your goal. Start from today if you don't have one already. Follow these steps. Find out what you want from God. Find the scriptures. Be specific. Be so specific and clear in your mind, then find the relevant scriptures in the Bible that promise you those things. When I say the relevant scripture, you can't come and say, I am a, let me, let me use it, I reign as a king. Fine, it's in the scripture. But if you can find what is written in the Bible, as in spelled out in the Bible, that's where it starts from. In John chapter, let's go to Romans chapter 4. I want to show you something. Romans chapter 4. Like we said last week, it's the practice of this thing that causes a manifestation. It's just the practice, that's it. Anybody that practices the truth always gets a manifestation. Romans chapter 4. It says, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's where it started from with Abraham. As it is written. That's where God started from with him. So, get what is written and start from there. It says, follow the steps of your father, Abraham. That's the first thing you do. The next thing you do, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. These are all the things we'll be talking about. I'm just going to summarize it. Get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart by meditating on the word of God until you have an inner conviction. So take the scriptures that you found, the man wants an increase, begin to meditate. We'll talk about meditation over and over again, over them. Think about them. Look at them. Read them to yourself every day. Over and over again. This is what I'm going to practice in the next 40 days. Take it and read it. It says, the works of my hands are blessed. Whatever I do prosper. Read it in the morning. Read it in the afternoon and read it in the evening. In fact, there was a book I got about the practices of the apostles of old times. They said they used to read the prayers and the Torah 3 times a day. 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. Practice of they said they read it 3 times a day and that's how they live. So take it and read it as many times as you can in your spare time. We'll talk about, when I finish the message, I'll show you what we're going to do in the next few weeks. So get it firmly fixed in your heart until you are fully persuaded, until you have an inward conviction. And the next thing is, step number one, the fourth part is, be ready to use the scriptures against Satan and his cohorts. There's no way, Satan does not respect anything. He can say, go away, and go. No, no, no. It is the scriptures he responds to. Jesus Christ says it is written. So you cannot, no matter, it's not the shouting. See, we heard last week, it's not by shouting. It is by quoting the scripture. That's the only thing he's afraid of. Say, quote those scriptures to Satan. You know, use the scriptures against the enemy when he comes against you. That's why you should get it firmly fixed in your heart. So have those things in your mind. Then after you've done that, you've meditated on that thing and it has settled on the inside of you. The next thing, I now make your request known unto God. Ask God for what you want. You know, you can't really believe you have received something except you're fully persuaded in your heart. That's why you should go through that process. So if we just rush into prayer in a knee-jerk response, follow these steps. Follow these steps. Ask God for what you want and believe that you receive them when you pray at that point of prayer. It's finished. So, see, these are practicalities. You take the thing, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, I ask you for 1, 2, 3, based on your word, in the name of Jesus, on the 22nd of May, 2016 at 11 p.m. I received it, and that's it. That's it. It is finished. Go to the book of 1 John. You see, we have to be. You see, because if you don't do that, you'll be in a state of constant hope. I'm teaching you how to walk by faith. 1 John chapter 5. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Listen, it says, if we ask anything according to his will. That means if he promises you in his word, it is his will. So there's no, let's not over-spiritualize that thing. It says, if you ask anything according to his will. Let me explain that to you. I like the way it was put. It says, for example, if a man wants an increase in salary or he wants some money somewhere else, £1,000, and he prays to God, he cannot say, Father, I want £1,000. Let me have a gun to stand in the middle of the road and stop someone coming from the bank and carry £1,000. You know, that's not according to God's will. He's saying, I want this thing according to the way you will bring it to me. That's it. According to your way, you will bring it to me. I surrender my own ways to you. Or you say, Father, let someone is married. You say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to get married. Let me have it. I mean, you can never, it's not according to his will. You understand? So it is. There's an element of surrender in the process of faith. Not pushing your agenda. See, this is where the crux is. It's an element of surrender in the prayer of faith. In the sense that, Lord, I do not know how it's going to, it might not be according to how I think it will happen, but I surrender it. I know he will give it to you, fine, but according to how you bring it to me. That's how you pray it. You pray it according to his will, according to your way. And when you do that, it says, listen, it says, he heareth us, right? And we know that if he hears us, so you agree that you've come to God with that request regarding the increase in salary. Father, I come to you based on the scriptures. I receive this thing right now on the 22nd of May, 2016, at 11 p.m., according to your will. Thank you, Lord. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says he hears you. So if you know that he heareth us, go to the next verse. We know that we have received the petition we have asked of him. So he says that because you are sure that he heard you, because you have come to him according to his will, based on certain scriptures, you've seen that, okay, Lord, it's your will for me to have an increase in salary. That's fine. And I've come to you according to that will. I know that you have heard me. Hasn't he heard you? He has heard you, okay. And because he has heard you, you have received the desire. Look at it. He says, if he has heard you, we have received the petitions we have. That means you have already gotten it. No, think about it. He said, since he heard you, you know he heard you. That means you've gotten the petition that you desired of him. So you have the answer already. So that's why I say, you mark the time, and that is it. Finished. So Metuguro said, if you pray 7 times, I will explain, for the same thing, going to God again. In fact, someone was asking for something over the week. Please, can I have this? I became irritated. I said, I will give it to you. And kept on, I said, so this is how God feels. That means you don't trust my judgment. That's how he feels now. He says, I promised you. You know, and I'm even a man. You know, so he says, because he heard me, once he hears, he says, as long as whatever I hear them say, that will I do. This thing is so powerful that even if they ask for a king, and God gave them. They ask for bread in the wilderness. He gave them their lust, their hearts lost. See, this thing is so powerful. There's nothing like unanswered prayer. Nothing like unanswered prayer, except it has to do with maybe injuring another person, coveting another person's material. There is nothing like unanswered prayer. You see, he gave them their heart. God gave them their heart lost. He decided to push another agenda, but he gave it to them. It's so powerful. That means your mind says there's nothing like you go to God in prayer with a legitimate need and you find the scriptures. It's not possible. So all the prayers you've prayed, God has answered. We know that we have it, and we have received the petitions that we desired of him. There, when you pray, go to Mark 11:23. He says, 24, let's go to 24. So therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them when you pray and you shall have them. So you've received it already when you said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you know that time. It's finished. And you shall have them. It's a process that will take time to manifest. But as far as God is concerned, he has given it to you. And once he gives it to you, the rest of responsibility is yours. God has, he has given it to you. When someone gives you something, what else is there? He has given it to you when you pray. Understand that. And begin to go back to all your prayer requests. Don't start repeating the same thing. We'll show you how to get to, we'll show you in the course how to actually, if it's delaying, we'll show you what to do anyway. We'll go on. So we've talked about the steps. The next step is when you believe you've received, you have to see yourself with what you asked for. You have to see yourself in actual possession of what you asked for. See yourself in actual possession of that thing. You need to have an image. And that comes through the process of meditation, which we have talked about before in the previous step. So you come to God and you say, Father, I thank you. Begin to see yourself with that job. If it's someone that needs a child, that is looking for the fruit of the womb, and you've gone to see the scripture, it says, he has caused the barren woman to rejoice with child. You've seen several scriptures. There is none barren in your land. You see several scriptures. If you have, believe you have a child and you want to go through a stress-free pregnancy, you see it there. He says, they shall not cast their young. You see those things in the Bible. And you see that man that needs a child, he has to see to the point where he sees his child in a yellow t-shirt running to him saying, Daddy, Daddy. That's how vivid the image must be. That's how clear it must be. If you have a company, you must see the people in the factory. If you are opening a company, working in the factory, say, oh God, the thread is finished to make the extra baskets. You must be that vivid in your imagination. If you are believing God for a music industry, you must see the people coming, yourself sitting down and interviewing people. It must be that clear in your mind. You have to see yourself in actual possession of that thing. I was believing God for the numbers. And I began to know that, look, I've been calling some numbers in my concerning the church. When I went to a course, God said, look, you don't really understand what that number means. I sat down in a hall. He said, count the number of people in this hall. I counted. I said, these are the numbers. It looks quite a lot, though. He said, that's the number. That means you didn't really, your mind didn't really understand what the numbers were. When I saw it, he said, take a picture of that hall. I snapped it in my mind. I said, that is the image. Anytime you meditate on the scripture, begin to see that image. Sometimes it might require you going. I said, when he was believing God for a building, he said he went to that building, he took the picture, he put it on his wall. When he's meditating on the scripture, he looks at that building. When he's meditating on the scripture, he was looking at that building and calling it forth with the scriptures, looking at that picture. So anytime he calls, he says, God, if he says God has increased us and has given us a new building, and for example, if he says that we lengthen our cords and we strengthen our stakes, we stretch forth the curtains of our habitation, when he says that regarding his building, he sees that picture. That's what God is saying. You have to have a picture of that word for it to manifest itself. And I'll show you. Let's go to Genesis. You have to see yourself in actual possession of that thing. God gave Abraham a picture. He gave him two things. He started with the written word. He gave Abraham two things. He gave him a picture. Go back to Genesis when you get home. And I'll read it for you. And the second thing he did was he changed Abraham's name. He gave him a picture to see, and he gave him something to say. Let's go to Genesis, chapter 15, verse 5. And he brought him abroad and said, look now towards the heavens and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So he said unto him, look at the stars. So he gave him a picture. So God said, you have to have a picture of the scripture I've given you. Then the next thing in 17 verse 5, I think it is, he says, neither shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So anytime Abraham is calling, he says, what's your name? My name is a father of many nations. What's your name? I am a father of many nations. So he's saying it. And anytime he's saying it, he's seeing the stars. That's how it is. He's saying it, and he's seeing the picture God gave him. He's saying it, and he's seeing the picture. He's not just saying father of many nations as in words. He's seeing certain things. He's saying it. He has caused the barren woman to sing for joy. As she's saying it, she's seeing herself in the labor ward, giving birth. She's seeing her husband saying, no, don't cry, don't cry. She's seeing those things vividly in her mind's eye. That's it. So you have to see the image of that word of God. He gave Abraham two things. If you look at Romans 4, you don't have to flip that, I'll read it for you. He now says, and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own. He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be. If you look at Genesis, it was a product of the stars. It says, so shall thy seed be. He was showing him something in that statement. So, two things you have to have. You have to have something you are declaring that is written scriptures regarding that your goal, and you have to have an image that has to be formed in you. If you don't have the image, stay there until the image is formed. In fact, I went to a course, very powerful statement. It says, if, I have to read it to you. I haven't heard a statement like that before. You see, the invisible things are clearly seen by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. He says, use sound to see when there is no hope or when there's no light. If you think, no, that was just a statement they made in the course. Natural men. I said, this thing is so powerful. Say, use sound to see when there's no light. What does that mean? If everything around you is hopeless, get the word of God. I'm going to release it until you begin to see with your inner eye. That's what happened to Abraham. Use sand to see where there's no light. And what God, Satan did in the garden was, he says their eyes were opened. They were all naked all along. It's just that their eyes were focused on something else. Their eyes were focused on the invisible. But once he opened their eyes, he switched it as they ate of the fruit. So they became more conscious of what they were on the outside. They were all naked all along, but they became more conscious of how they were on the outside. So it takes someone to begin to focus on that image for a period of time. Rabbi said, look, you have to have that image 24 hours a day. He said, you have to see that image. You have to keep it before you. That means I'm standing here, I'm looking at this thing, but I'm seeing something else inside my mind's eye. And it takes discipline. As you begin to build it, after some time, it takes over you. As you are looking at this, you are not seeing that. You are seeing something else which is not visible. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen? That's what God is saying. So let's begin. So the challenges of life might have become so formidable that you can't see anything. Like Colossians said, was so much debt that you couldn't actually focus on the word. You know. So what you do now is to begin by meditating on that word. Begin to meditate on it day and night. And any time the thought of that thing comes to you, speak back. Speak back. As you do that, the image is building. Begin to do that until that image takes complete charge. Then the next thing is, let every thought affirm your answer. Never permit a mental picture of failure. Get your mind on the answer. Eradicate all thoughts, dreams, suggestions, visions, and impressions and feelings that do not contribute to your faith. Eradicate everything that does not contribute to your project. Is that then when you have a project, it's not sentimental. You have to cut off some relationships in that season. I mean, it's your life. Things that antagonize and oppose. And where do thoughts come from? Thoughts are governed by associations, observations, and teachings. In fact, you have to avoid some certain messages. People that don't believe in the faith of God. You have to avoid it, because these things can, in fact, that's the greatest way you can actually derail a man, by just altering truth slightly. That's the greatest way. So avoid those things. It's very, very, you can't be believing God for healing and be looking at all these sick people. You can't be believing God for progress in your marriage and be watching all sorts of things, divorce here and there. You can't do that. You have to separate yourself from those things that affect what you're believing God for. When you are finished, you can come out and play. You know, but in the initial place, you have to protect yourself and your mind from anything that, and the enemy knows how to arrange it. You just come and start saying all sorts of things directly at that point when you decide to believe, antagonizing and sort of against the thing you're believing God for. Be conscious of it. And once you have those things, go back to your closet and begin to release words. That, you know, there was a woman that, a guy who was having some symptoms, and he went to open a newspaper and he started reading it. This was a pastor, one of the Rema guys. As he was reading it, his wife walked into the room and he became all pale. He said, "What's that? What's happened to you?" "So, are you reading that? You're reading that?" She began to rebuke that spirit and this thing lifted from him. It's very serious. People have received their healing and have gone to their churches, and the pastor has preached in such a way that they didn't believe the way and they lost it. Wrong teaching, wrong associations. Very, very important. And observations. Remove doubt or unbelief. Stay away from places and from things that do not support what you are believing God for. You cannot be believing God for something and you are interacting with things that are opposite. It can't work out like that. You have to stay away from this. And I talked about unbelief. You see, I've talked about this before. Unbelief is not something that is nice or something to be toyed with. When Jesus came from the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw the boy and the parents came, let's go to that story quickly. Matthew chapter 17. If I can get to the end of this thing today. So it's not like an answered prayer. Matthew 17. See, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain, and was transfigured before their eyes. I like the account of Mark. I think it was Mark. It says he was praying, and as he prayed, he was transfigured before their eyes. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. You know, and if you look at the account of that Mark chapter 9, I think, it says the disciples were asleep while he was praying. Their eyes were heavy. You know, and when they went down from the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw the boy, they couldn't cast him out. In fact, Jesus must have fasted here because it says the next day they came down from the mountain. So there's a period without food. So understand that. So there appeared unto them Elijah, Moses, talking with them. Go down to verse 19. And the disciples came to him and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "One simple reason, because of your unbelief." Go to 17. He said, "O faithless and perverse generation." He classified faithlessness as being perverse. Unbelief is an evil thing. Hebrews says, "For go there when you get home." It says, "Take heed, brethren." It's good. Let's go there. I'm not talking from my mind. Unbelief is an evil thing. Shouldn't be taken lightly. You shouldn't pat it in the back. It prevented the people from entering into their inheritance. It's going to stop you from entering into the things God has designed for you. See, they stumbled because of unbelief. It says, let's go to 3 first. Hebrews 3. We'll start from the end. It says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation," from verse 10, "they do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear on my rod that they shall not enter into my rest." Say, "Take it therefore, brethren," 12, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." When I, what's his name? The healing evangelist, one of them, I've forgotten his name, I think it's Dowie. He said, when Jesus told that woman, "Go and sin no more," that sin there was unbelief. Because unbelief makes you depart from the living God. That's what he says here. He said, "But encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." That's the root of sin. When you begin to move away from the things of God, and begin to become unpersuaded, you now get into the region of sin. That's like this. So let's understand that. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They all died in the wilderness. Look at that. They had an evil, he called it an evil report of unbelief. See, don't take it for granted. It's not something that should be parted. The just shall live by faith. So anything that does not have faith is sin. That's what he said, isn't it? Unbelief is the opposite of faith. So begin to rise your spirit man is made naturally to believe, because you're a believer, not a doubter. So anything that comes to cause you to stumble, you have to take it aggressively. The same way you see the sin of fornication, take unbelief like that from today on. He says, to the fearful and unbelieving, they will have their place in the lake of fire. This thing is serious. So take it with that, because people are casual about it. They say, unbelief, no. Take it like that. It makes people stumble and prevents them from entering into the thing that God has designed for them. So when you hear someone stole something, you begin to take it like that in your mind. It all depends on you, how you see it. So begin to take it with that aggression. Say, look, unbelief, you're not going to stay here. Use the word of God to battle unbelief. The other thing you use is prayer and fasting. See, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And the word. Battle number. This kind cometh not out. Jesus had just come from the Mount of Transfiguration. He was fasted. They were sleeping while he was praying. When he came and said, I rebuke you, foul spirit, come out. So what happened, Jesus? He said, you guys, this kind does not come out. So a man that is given to the practice of the word, a man that is given to fasting and prayer, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to him. So unbelief, please. Don't take it for granted. The word of God is the answer to unbelief. Do these things, practice them serially, as we've been saying it, and God will continue to cause it to increase. So it says, meditate constantly, the next one, on the scriptures after you've even prayed, that guarantee your answers. So that's what Joshua 1 it says. Constantly meditate on the scriptures that guarantee your answers, even after you've prayed. So when you are tempted, okay, we'll go to the next. So see yourself with what you ask for and make plans accordingly. See yourself with what you ask for and make plans accordingly. I remember Kenneth E. Hagin went on the bed of sickness when he had received his healing. He said the reason why you must be so specific, he said he had been believing God for healing and he had received the healing, but the problem was that he wasn't specific enough. He said the healing fully manifested when he says, Father, I thank you, Lord, for I've received the healing for my incurable blood disease and for my incurable heart condition. So you have to bring it to the specifics of your life. So the power of God you're targeting it at a specific purpose. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So it was specific about it. It wasn't beating around the bush. So begin to do that. Meditate constantly on the scriptures that guarantee your answers. So take the scriptures that you found already and begin to, we've talked about meditation. Meditate on them day and night and see yourself with what you ask for and make plans accordingly. So Hagin said that. He said what happened was that he kept on the scriptures before him. Before he did that, he was seeing himself dead because there was so much death around him. He saw himself being buried. He saw the coffin, he saw the funeral arrangement, he saw everything until he began to meditate on the scriptures again. He began to see himself alive. He began to see himself preaching. He had to have that clear picture of what he was doing based on the scriptures. It's not hard. He began to see himself preaching and he began to write messages. He couldn't really talk very well. He couldn't really write very well, but he was writing messages. He said, what would I be doing if I was out of here? Okay, let me start making plans. He was writing messages. Begin to practice. You don't have to do it outside. If you are believing God for increase, you want to reach out for £100,000 of monthly income, begin to write your checks in your closet. £10,000 tithe checks. Keep it in your drawer. Begin to do those things. Begin to practice it with the image clearly in your mind. Begin to do that. Prepare. And you have to keep that thing going. Next thing is praise God and thank Him for all His blessings in your life at every waking moment. Give Him thanks. This is where it is. Give Him thanks for everything He has done. Begin to give Him thanks every day regarding this thing. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for the fulfillment of those things He has done. And the last one is make every prayer relative to what you have asked a statement of faith. Don't ask over and over and over again. Ask once. Just remind God that you prayed and believed and thank Him you have received it. For example, if the thing is delaying, people can begin to waver. Go to God and say, Father, I thank you because on the 22nd of May, 2015, at 11 a.m., I thank you I received the £10,000 increased salary. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Begin to worship God over it and give Him thanks for that thing again over your life. See, let me go to Hebrews. I want to show you something. Hebrews. The key to that thing is actually the image of it. If you can keep that image, rejoicing in that thing, very soon you'll see a manifestation on the earth. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house. So whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, that's our confession, and rejoicing of the hope, steadfast unto the end. So it's a product of your confession, which sort of makes that image surer, and you're rejoicing in that thing you are seeing, steadfast to the end. That's your task within a period of when you have received it from God and its manifestation on the earth. Go down to, it says it here again, go down to verse 14 of that same chapter. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast on to the end. It says that's how you partake of the divine nature. You hold the beginning of that confidence steadfast on to the end. Let's go to the book of, we'll round up now. So those steps, if you follow them serially, we'll round up with Romans chapter 4. Follow them serially in your prayer life. Take them one by one. And you see, let me give you an example. You see, it, because the Bible is a supernatural book, we're not dealing with fables. Can I hear again was saying that his daughter had a mole in her eye, you know, somewhere there, and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, this thing has to be cut off with surgery. You know, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, so he said, okay, thank you very much. I'm going home. So he took her home. He said, okay, brought her. He said, got the healing scripture. He said, according to the scriptures, he said, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Father, I thank you because we receive our healing right now. You noted the time. And he said, fine. He began to rejoice. Thank you, Father, for I receive our healing. He began to rejoice over it. I receive our healing. Anytime he thinks about it, Father, I thank you because she was healed on so day. That's how you practice faith. Anytime you think, I was healed on so day, thank you because it was done in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks. He meditated on the scriptures over and over again. I was giving thanks. He said, the next morning he woke up. The Satan told him, would you go and look at the mole? He said, no, it's not there. What's he looking at? She's healed already. So we're not looking at the outward. We have to go back to the original intention of man before the fall of man. We're not looking at the things that are seen anymore. The realities of the spirit are more real to us now. You know, so we're looking at those things. He said, what should I do to bother myself? I give you thanks. He said, one day, he was driving in the car. He wanted to ask his wife something. Just turned back, the mole had disappeared. He asked his wife, what happened? He said, 10 days ago, I decided, you didn't even know. That's how it happened. You just woke up one morning and you discovered, oh, this habit is gone forever. That's how it is. These things are mysterious because the Bible is not just, it is a powerful book. You're dealing with raw power. You understand? So let's understand that. So practice these things daily. It is not, is it complex? No, it's not. It's just the practice, like we had last week. See, you have to practice to know of the doctrine. It's the practice of it that makes a difference. It's the practice. But when people are put under pressure, they're put yourself under a regimented thing, like a military man, and practice. Don't wait for circumstances to box you in before you practice. Practice. Practice this thing. And Romans chapter 4, we'll round up with that. Romans chapter 4. I read the story of Abraham, our father. Verse 16. You see, the thing about Mark 11:23 is that anybody can practice it, even people are not Christians. Because it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast. Nothing can practice it. So what God is saying is that because I have the superior thoughts, if you use my thoughts in that place, you will see magnificent results. If you use my thoughts, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. If you don't push your agenda and try to force things, you come in surrender and in that prayer and receive, say, I will receive it the way you want me to have it. That's when you see magnificent things. But if you push your own agenda, that is when you will see results, but you have leanness in your soul. That's what he told him. Say, you give them their heart's loss, but they found leanness in their souls. So let's go God's way. And God's way is not difficult. And God's way is even quicker. You know, it's a narrow way. It's quicker than all these things. So he says, blessed, Romans chapter 4. And the thing about it is that the reason why God made it like this, so that the promise will be sure. That means so that everybody will be able to practice it. Education, this thing is not difficult. A market woman can practice it. You don't have to go to school to be able to practice this faith. It is here. Rahab the harlot probably didn't go to school. She practiced it. The self-efficient widow practiced it. So it should that simple to be practiced. It says, therefore it is of faith, Romans 4:16, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So God wants every single seed to be a beneficiary of the promise. Not to that only which of the law, but also that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, like I said, start with the written word, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, by calling things that be not as, and calleth things that be not as though they were. So God quickens the dead. If you go to Psalm 145, he says, remember thy word unto thy servant, wherewith thou hast caused me to hope, for thy word has quickened me. So that scripture, what it does to you is that it quickens you in that situation when there's no hope around. You see a scripture, the doctor says you have an incurable disease, and you see a scripture that says, God, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. That gives you hope. Okay, it means that even though medical science cannot solve this problem, that God has made a way in Christ Jesus and has healed me already. So that gives him hope. After he gives you hope and quickens you, the next thing, he calls those things. So he puts that thing which has quickened you upon your lips and begin to call those things that be not as though. That's the process of meditation we talked about. So begin to put those things upon your lips until you begin to see their manifestation. Who against hope believed in hope? So the hope on the outside, which says it cannot be cured, another hope has come from the word of God, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So that hope has now become an image. Remember, it says, so shall thy seed be. So he gave him something with the stars. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So he stopped looking at the surrounding environment. He stopped looking at, he stopped looking at the mole in his daughter's eye. But every time he thought about it, he chose to put that image of her being healed before him, declaring the scriptures that God had given him, by the stripes he's healed. He said, then when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So you can't focus on the outside. Stop focusing on that thing. Rather, take your eyes off that thing and focus on the word of God and the image that he has given you. Focus on the word and the image he has given you based on that word. And how do you focus on it? By looking at that word only, not by any external improvement in the condition. Go to Luke 7:32. Because you don't want to be wavering. It's the image that is your own. That's what your the image of that thing is what you'll be looking at. Luke 7. Not by any improvement. Luke 7:32. This is how it was. It says, they are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not wept. So, even if it improves, even the pipes, even if the thing is getting better, that's not our business. Even if the thing is getting worse, that's not our business. Our business is the image. See, even if the numbers decrease, it's not our business. We have an image we are looking at. That's what's causing the joy on the inside of us. The joy is not caused by a temporary increase in the earth. The fact that they increase my salary by 5,000, that's not what I'm seeing, something else that is causing the joy. So don't focus on that thing. Remove your mind completely from Sarah, your period. Have you seen your period today? You know? So that is not the focus. Even if it is getting better on the outside, forget about that. Focus on the image and the word. So don't dance on the pipes. Don't dance to him. Because that same dancing, when it goes out, it's going to bring you again. Forget about that. Focus on the image. Got to stop counting the cars and the chairs. No, focus on the image. The symptom might be getting better in the body. Forget about that. So I will thank you, but we're focused on the image that we have. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are seeing it in our mind's eye. We're not moved by external improvement or depreciation. We're not moved by that. So focus on that. And I said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Look at unbelief causes you to stagger again. unbelief causes you to stagger, remember that the cure to unbelief is the word of God. Anytime that unbelief wants to come, you have to speak to it. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of unbelief. I rely solely on the word of God, which says, I have increased and I've become very good. You quote the scriptures back. Unbelief is Satan speaking to you. Faith is released by the voice of God. Unbelief is released by the voice of Satan. Speak back to that thing. Don't take it like this. Speak back to it. Unbelief, speak back to it, address it. Say, no, I refuse to walk in unbelief. I believe in the word of God, and I say, I have it now. I received it when I prayed. Father, I give you thanks for it. I have it now in the name of Jesus. On its way to manifestation, I have received it already in the name of Jesus. Don't tolerate it 1 second in your mind. It's a work of faith. This is where, this is what you call the sufferings. It's not suffering on the outside in sickness. No, no. This is the suffering where you are declaring the word against contradictory evidence on the outside. That's the suffering. That's the suffering of Christ. Nothing else. It's not being sick. It's not being poor. No, no, no. The suffering of Christ is when you take the word of God against contradictory evidence. You are declaring it. Now it says, being strong in faith. He's talking about the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He said, we are made partakers of Christ. We hold fast that confidence. See, when you begin to declare that thing, I begin to see that image. A time will come where that thing becomes more real to you than anything. It creates that joy on the inside of you. More real to you than anything you see. You begin to rejoice in that thing. Anytime you raise up your hand to worship, you are seeing yourself in possession of that thing. Anytime you raise your hand to worship, you are seeing yourself in possession of that thing. You are seeing yourself. God is speaking to you. That I remember when I had issues, the Lord told me that, look, what is in your hand is enough for you. It begins to minister to you. It becomes more real to you than anything on the outside. Anything, people say, it bounces up your consciousness. That's the reality of what we're talking about. So you begin to worship God. You hold that posture every day, every day, every day, every day, until the thing breaks forth in the natural. Every day, just keep on rejoicing until you become a partaker of that thing on the earth. Keep on rejoicing in that thing. Keep on rejoicing in that image you are seeing. Forget about the outside. After some time, the thing on the outside will not mean anything to you anymore. Lilanji Yeomans, Dr. Yeomans, a doctor. And it was kind of even, Abraham got the promise. A doctor. Medical doctor, Christian. She got addicted to morphine. She was reading the book. As she read the book, she said, "If you had asked me years ago how I ended up here as a Christian, born again Christian, tongue talker, I would say it's my fault entirely." She said, "There's a danger in following from afar." That's what she said. She said, Peter followed from afar. There's a danger in following from afar. She said, you either launch yourself fully into it or you stay out of it. When you follow from afar, you know, things can happen. But thank God for his mercy. She said that she can't understand it. It started initially because of the stress of work. That's why you must have compassion on people. From the stress of work, just to relieve the stress, just a few tablets or some painkillers. After some time, the thing became so much. A few tablets of morphine. Let me just relax. So she said, I didn't know when this monster grabbed a hold of my soul. And I became addicted. I was taking, the amount she was taking, medically speaking, I mean, it sounds so much. That, I mean, she became addicted to morphine. She said, this monster grabbed hold of my soul. She said, I prayed and I ripped off my hair. I threw more morphine than I even took away. But the thing still had a grip on my soul. I walked around and prayed. I cried and did everything. I became completely disoriented. Anytime I tried to stop it, the symptoms were so bad that the people say, continue taking it. Until one day, I made a decision to open the word. I say, I decided to launch into the word with everything I've got. I decided to launch into the Bible with everything I've got as my only way of escape. So as I launched into it, I began to see things. See, I can't really tell you how it happened, but after some time, that monster flew away. this Bible opened up to you by the Spirit of God is the source of your life. And everything you require is inside there. So let's make a fresh commitment. We're going to do this 40 days from tomorrow. We'll send the scriptures out by the morning. Please participate. It's by doing. You can actually use your own scriptures if you already have them. You know, we'll read the Bible. We'll pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. Morning, 6 a.m., 12, 6 p.m. 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. I'll send the text out. Take the things, the areas in your life, you know, that I believe in for, and begin to release the words of God on those areas, and let the rain begin to fall until there's a flood over those areas of your life. That's the only way we know. And that's the only way we can actually survive in this earth. You know, every other thing will pass away, but the only thing that will stand is the word of God. You know, let's do that. You can get results many other ways, but they won't. God wants people to know how to produce results in a time of famine, when all the other systems fail. Now that we are shielded, let's practice it, you know, so that when that's the only option, you don't wait till that is the only option. You know, let's give ourselves to it, and God will reward us. I'll read the things, just the outline, before we go on what it's going to be like. And I will give you thanks. What it's going to be like, it's just going to be straightforward, and I believe that God will help us. They will make some declarations. We break bread. So, everything we receive from God is on a platform of mercy, actually, you know. And the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's why we've been teaching on the seed experience all this while. You know, we teach on the seed experience that be merciful to people, do good. You know, you're opening yourself up to receive the mercy of God, which is the reign of God upon your life. And the other thing we said is about forgiveness, you know, walking in love, walking out of love is a blessing blocker. It just clogs the pipe and you'll be able to receive those things that God desires you to have. Because it says in the book of Mark 11:23, it says that when you stand praying, forgive. That's the only thing that, known in scripture, that will hinder the flow of God into your life as a person. So I wrote something, I got something down from our website. It says, our prayer for mercy will mean different things in each individual's life. The mercy of God covers every aspect of human need. It's simply a cry unto God to show you favor in an area on the basis of his kindness. The covenant of mercy that guarantees you obtain mercy states that you also should be merciful. Jude says it. It says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of God. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It now says, this starts with forgiveness and extends to being of valuable help to others. That's what we've been teaching on the seed experience, to culminate in this. Make sure you exercise yourself daily in a prayer to remove every resentful feeling towards anyone as we enter this period, and to put yourself in a position to really do well to others, helping people. The blessing blocker is to harbor aught against anyone in your heart. It might be subtle, so take time to daily cleanse your heart. This is the practice we will do. We'll send the PDF out. The daily you practice this thing daily, you define your goal, like I said, things you have believed God for in these 40 days, and remind yourself daily by reading out the promises of mercy over those goals. I've written out some scriptures. Have it written down and read it often to yourself at least every morning. Before the activities of the day, have a clear idea about why you are doing this 40-day faith walk. Your thoughts must be daily directed to your objectives. So it's an individual thing, although we're doing it collectively. It's not just, you have your own purpose. I mean, you want to achieve certain things. So use the advantage of the corporate anointing. So gather the spare moments in your life. It is quite unlikely that you will be working or studying nonstop. So gather up those fragments of time spent daydreaming on social media. Those crumbs may be converted to monuments of fellowship with God right in the thick of the busy day. During those times, meditate on the scriptures and mutter to yourself the result of your prayers. Separate time outside the prayer to prophesy. have a set time outside the three watches, which are set 6 a.m., 12 and 6 p.m., where you will speak out God's word to the seeds you have sown that they spring forth and become the certain promises of God's fulfilling your life. Administer the Spirit to the work of your hands and into your family, declaring directly into them what the word has promised you. So use those times. Have separate time to declare God's word. See it as your time. Say, look, this period is a period of destiny for me. I want to bet some things that will carry me for the next few years of my life. Look at it like that, you know. It now says, take the word on the go. It says, there's no substitute for a personal dedicated time invested in studying the Bible. But beyond that, take advantage of mobile technology to enhance your spiritual nutrition on the go. Load up relevant spiritual material on your phone, your music player. Saturate your space with God's word where the nature of your activity permits. Stick in your headphones and let spiritual life get pumped into your system. Keep saying it and keep praising God for the harvest of the things you have seen based on what we've taught today. So I want us to practice that, and we'll make some declarations as we break bread. We'll just make this declaration that everyone will sit down with God and break bread. I will make these declarations over the people, and I will send the prayer meetings, the prayer points later. You can do your own prayer points. It's just a general thing, just a summary. I declare unto the ground of Covenant Christian Center the following things. I declare into the life of every member, your floors are full of the bread of the increase of the earth, and you overflow now with the blessing you have released your faith for. Everything you have lost in the past, I decree that is restored in the name of Jesus. Amen. The years that the locusts have eaten have been supernaturally restored by increased blessings this year, 2016, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You eat in abundance and your heart is satisfied and bursts into praise, for God has dealt wondrously with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have seen and can feel God's living presence in your life, and your nakedness is never seen by anyone. For God has been your ever-present help in time of need. The Spirit of God has poured out on every single person in Covenant Christian Center, and we have all been granted utterance to speak prophetically into the earth. Our words have produced signs, wonders, and symbols of the power of God on the earth. All forms of darkness before us have become light. Wherever any member of Covenant Christian Center calls on the name of the Lord, they are saved and delivered in the name of Jesus. As a body, we have grown exponentially by the mercy of God, and we are known as a town without walls by reason of the multitude of men and our material possessions. Therefore, we say we break forth on every side, and people are making haste from all parts of London and the United Kingdom to join Covenant Christian Center. We say in the name of Jesus Christ, there's no jobless person in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. We say there's no barren person in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree that the works of every man's hand is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree no man is stranded by reason of light in the name of Jesus Christ. Every man has a direction and knows the right steps to take in the affairs of their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We say no child shall die prematurely, no adult shall die prematurely. Every single member shall fulfill the number of their days on the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree from the sweat of our face, we do not eat bread. Eat bread by the rain of heaven upon the works of our hands in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree that there's no sick person in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Not one feeble member amongst our tribe in the name of Jesus Christ. Every business flourishes. The works of every man's hand receives accelerated increase in the name of Jesus Christ. And the vision of the heart of the people and every desire of their heart is met supernaturally by the rain of heaven upon the works of their hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We decree that at the end of these 40 days, we'll look back and say, look at what the Lord has done. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, just break bread.